This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ثم كان من الذين آمنوا وتواصوا بالصبر وتواصوا بالمرحمة أولئك أصحاب الميمنة وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم من عزى حزينا ألبسه الله التقوى وصلى على روحه في الأرواح ومن عزى مصابا كساه الله حلتين من حلل الجنة لا تقوم لهما الدنيا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers and elders, we are often faced with a situation where a near and dear one, a friend or a relative is struck with some tragedy. Sometimes physical, sometimes financial, sometimes he lost a beloved person. As Muslims, what is our moral obligation to our fellow Muslims when we find them in such a situation? How do we morally support them? How do we aid them? How do we console them? What are the guidelines that Islam has provided for us in this situation? We are a universal ummah and we share the challenges of every person. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advises us in this regard. The first thing, لا تظهر الشماتة لأخيك فيرحمه الله ويبتليك. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, do not rejoice on the tragedy of your brother. The first advice that the Nabi of Allah gives us is, do not rejoice on the tragedy of your brother, فَيَرْحَمُهُ اللَّهُ. Very soon, Allah Ta'ala will make an opening for him. And Allah Ta'ala will grant him deliverance from that crisis, وَيَبْتَلِيكَ. And Allah will inflict a similar, if not a greater tragedy on you. So that is the first advice we learn from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is unfortunate that you and I live in a time that there are many people who perhaps verbally might console you, support you, but Allah forgive in their heart, they rejoice over your tragedy. In fact, one step ahead, many of them desire your tragedy. And this ties up again with the prophecy of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَكُونُ فِي آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ أَقْوَامٌ. Prior to Qiyamah, certain nations will make their presence on this earth. إِخْوَانُ الْعَلَانِيَةِ أَعْدَاءُ السَّرِيرَةِ. Who will express brotherhood externally, but will be enemies from within. What did Nabi alayhi salam say? Ikhwanul alaniya. Like in English, I read this particular saying, it caught my attention, which was something really thought-provoking. I love people who openly hate me, but I hate people who pretend to love me. I love people who openly hate me. The man told me he's my enemy. I can't expect good from the man. He openly says he's my enemy. But I hate people who pretend to love me. So Nabi alayhi salam says, a time will come a man will express brotherhood, but inside he will rejoice. The tragedy of his rival, he will consider it as triumph for himself, as victory for himself. While we discuss the deviation of the pagan Arabs prior to the advent of Islam, and every man agrees that they were sinking in their deviation. However, one cannot deny that the Arabs at that time also enjoyed certain salient qualities that even the present day world cannot match those qualities of the Arabs. And who knows, perhaps it was in relation to those qualities that Allah favored the Arab world. وَلَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ كِتَابًا فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ. That by the revelation of the Quran, we have honored the entire Arab world. Arabic has become beloved because of the Quran. Who knows, perhaps it was in acknowledgement to these outstanding qualities in the Arabs. Alqama ibn Harith radiyallahu anhu, who at the time of accepting Islam, describes the qualities that were found amongst the Arab prior to accepting Islam. And Nabi alayhi salam is totally impressed. Ash-shukru inda ar-raqa, a quality that was common amongst the Arabs. Gratefulness on moments of prosperity. Not pride, not arrogance, but gratefulness. We take the practice of atiqa, that is when a child is born, as a token of appreciation. This particular practice has its roots in the Arabs prior to Islam. In fact, it comes down from the very beginning, from the teachings of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. At the birth of Nabi alayhi salam, his grandfather Abdul Muttalib went to the Kaaba, announced the birth of his grandson, named him Muhammad, and according to the custom of the Arabs, as a token of appreciation to Allah, Of course, Nabi alayhi salam then came and gave it an Islamic flavor and explained to us the benefits, taught us the dua. Allahumma hadhihi aqiqatu fulanin, damuha bidamihi, wa lahmuha bilahmihi, wa azmuha bi'azmihi, wa jilduha bijildihi, wa sha'ruha bi'sha'rihi. But the point I'm stressing here is that the Arab man, even in his deviation, even in his prior to the advent of Islam, gratitude in moments of prosperity, was sabr 'inda al-bala, and patience in moments of difficulty, whatever difficulty comes your way, to endure, to persevere. وَالصِّدْقُ فِي مَوَاطِنِ اللِّقَاءِ, and honesty in meetings. When he gave a man his word, he honored his word. Nabi alayhi salam said, الْعِدَةُ دَيْنٌ. You promise a man, that promise, that verbal contract you've given him, that is like a debt that is on your shoulder. He says, you're owing a man money, honor your word. Well, the brothers, today nobody honors his words. وَالصِّدْقُ فِي مَوَاطِنِ اللِّقَاءِ وَالرَّضَى بِمُرِّ الْقَضَى, and happiness on the bitter decisions of faith, on the bitter choices of faith. Whatever Allah has decided, many a times it might not be that appealing, but to accept that if this is what my Allah has decided, مَنْ لَمْ يَرْضَ عَلَىٰ قَضَائِي وَلَمْ يَصْبِرْ عَلَىٰ بَلَائِي فَلْيَتَّخِذْ رَبًّا سِوَائِي. What stern words in the Hadith Qudsi, that person who is not pleased with my selection in his favor and cannot endure the difficulties I have put for him out of my own wisdom, then tell him he considers me incapable of being Allah. Tell him to look for a better Allah than I. فَلْيَتَّخِذْ رَبًّا سِوَائِي وَتَرْكِ الشَّمَاتَهُ بِالْمُصِيبَ إِذَا حَلَّتْ بِالْأَعْدَى. And the next quality that was found in the Arabs was, never, never dare to rejoice on the tragedy of your enemy, never mind your brother. This was common. When Nabi alayhi salam heard this, he said, these are the qualities of the believers. In fact, Nabi alayhi salam told Alqama, فُقَهَا أُدَبَا كَادُوا أَن يَكُونُوا أَنْبِيَا. These are the jurists of my ummah. These are the people that have the possess the qualities and the attributes of anbiya. So the first message we learn, that when our brother is in any tragedy, never to rejoice. The hadith I quoted in the beginning, Nabi alayhi salam said, man azza hazinan, whoever will console a person in any problem, any difficulty. Wallah brothers, I can tell you, I'm inundated. In this time and age, even if you can just take out time and have a sympathetic ear. My brother, come home. I can't really support you. I'm not in a financial position. I can't do much, but I share your sentiments. I feel your pain. And just pick up the phone and phone the man. You heard some tragedy came in his life. During the course of the week, I was sorry to hear about the accident. I heard your son became ill. He's hospitalized. I can't come to the hospital. I'm making dua. Is there anything I can do? In that busy schedule of yours, just take out that little time. I swear by Allah, that little moments go a long way. Man azza hazinan. That person who will console a man that is distressed. أَلْبَسَهُ اللَّهُ التَّقْوَى. Allah will make him wear the garment of piety. وَصَلَّى عَلَىٰ رُوحِهِ فِي الْأَرْوَاحِ. And Allah will shower his choicest blessings on that particular soul. وَمَنْ عَزَّى مُصَابًا. Whoever will console a man in any difficulty, any problem. أَلْبَسَهُ اللَّهُ حُلَّتَيْنِ مِنْ حُلَلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah will make him wear two garments of Jannat la taqumu lahum ad-dunya, which in value will be more valuable than the entire world. We learn from the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that when you go and visit your sick brother, how can you morally support him? The hadith of Nabi alayhi salam, what an encompassing faith we enjoy, that every aspect of our deen has been discussed. إِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ عَلَى الْمَرِيضِ فَنَفِّسُوا لَهُ فِي أَجَلِهِ فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ لَا يَرُدُّ شَيْعًا وَيَطِيبُ بِنَفْسِهِ. Nabi alayhi salam says, when you visit a sick man, then encourage him and tell him he will live. Tell him, inshallah, you will survive this, you will recover. I will see you again in the masjid, I'll meet you again in the office. Inshallah, it's a matter of 2 weeks and you'll be out of this clinic. Nabi alayhi salam says, for verily your encouragement and your moral support will not alter the reality nor prolong his life, but will bring joy to the heart of your brother. And that is enough. وَيَطِيبُ بِهِ نَفْسًا. At least when you walk out, he will say, yeah, alhamdulillah, you know, Mawlana also came, my brother came. Everybody said, I'm feeling much better, I'm looking better. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, if you console him like this, مَنْ عَزَّ مُصَابًا فَلَهُ مِثْلُ أَجْرِهِ. He will be in the pain and getting the reward because of your moral support. Allah will give you the same rewards. Allah will give you the same reward. Let's look at the incident. The Quran highlights the fundamental object of marriage. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. That Allah Ta'ala says, by virtue of marriage, it must provide happiness. And through that marriage and through that bond, Allah promises two things. مَوَدَّةً, love, rahmah, mercy. In Qurtubi, likewise in Madarik al-Tanzeel, it is written, قِيلَ الْمَوَدَّةً لِلشَّابَّةً وَالرَّحْمَةِ لِلْعَجُوزِ. That love generally translates itself in the initial stage of the marriage life. And love and mercy translates or expresses or manifests itself in the latter part of this marriage. Generally when either of the partner becomes sick or old. We find often in a Western circle, when either of the partner becomes sick and there's some tragedy, then in fact, instead of supporting, more than often those marriages dissolve. More than often, at the time where you really now need your partner, he or she is going through whatever physical or financial tragedy. While things are prosperous, then everybody enjoys being the respective partner. Let's look at the situation of Ayyub alayhi salatu wassalam. It would be opportune to mention at this juncture. Allah speaks of Ayyub alayhi salam in four different surahs of the Quran. In Surah Nisa, in Surah An'am, in Surah Anbiya, and in Surah Sa'd. Ayyub alayhi salatu wassalam enjoyed every form of privilege, every form of happiness, joy, prosperity. Allah blessed him with 14 children according to the riwayat of Qurtubi on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. 7 sons, 7 daughters. An affluent life, a comfortable, a prosperous life. Brothers, let us listen to this. Allah is in total control to turn the situation of any man at any time. He was totally grateful to the ni'mat of Allah. Then came the test of Allah upon Ayyub alayhi salatu wassalam. All his farms started burning out. He lost his farms, his orchards. His house, the roof of his house collapsed, causing all the occupants of that house that included his 14 children to die instantly. I can say it, my brother, you can hear it. Ask the man who has lost one beloved. He never recovers from that for the rest of his life. He's never the same man after he's lost his beloved. At one instance, he loses 14 children. He loses his farms. He loses everything. And that's not all. He developed such a sickness that he developed ulcers on his entire body. That his near and dear ones totally deserted him and left him and abandoned him. Only his tongue and his heart was saved from this particular sickness that he had developed. The person that was a pillar of support to him was his spouse, who was moral support, who stood by his side, who used to earn and provide. وَكَانَتْ مِنْ أَحْفَادِ يُوسُفِ. She was from the descendants of Yusuf alayhi salam. Her name was Rahmat. And wallah, she literally was a mercy to her husband. This particular woman, the wife of Ayyub alayhi salatu wassalam, رافقت هذه المرأة حياة نعمته وصحته وزمن بؤسه وبلائه فكانت في الحالين مع زوجها شاكرة صابرة. She seen both the errors. She stayed when the husband was affluent and prosperous, and she was totally grateful to Allah Ta'ala. And when difficulty came, As Ayyub alayhi salam persevered, she also persevered. With reference to the patience of Ayyub alayhi salam, it was so great that in one riwayat it comes when Allah Ta'ala had taken all this away from him, then he said, "Oh Allah, I am grateful to you for this condition that you have brought on me, that you have removed those things which potentially could alter my relation with you." Allahu Akbar. My children, my farms, it could potentially alter my relation. I am grateful to you, you have removed this and now me and you enjoy this closeness. But of course she supported her husband and the sickness started taking a toll on her. We often sympathize with a person in sickness. We forget to sympathize with those living with the sick person. Let me tell you brothers, many a times that person goes through more difficulty. If there's a sick man in the house, the children, the wife, everybody needs that support. The whole house is not functioning normal. Everything is now in chaos because of that one sick person. We forget to sympathize with those living with the sick person. So one day she, in all human, sentiments, she came to Ayyub alayhi salam and she said, "Ayyub, don't you think it's high time you beg Allah to now remove the difficulties?" He was a Nabi of Allah, sabran ka sabri Ayyub, unparalleled sacrifice, unparalleled patience. He gets up and he admonishes his wife and he says, "Kam labithtu fir raha?" How many years of prosperity did we enjoy? So she says it was 80 years, eight decades of prosperity. "Kam labithtu fil bala?" And how many years of difficulty? So she answers, "It's already 7 years that has left." 7 years of difficulty. Ask a man that can't sleep for one night. 7 years, what it is. So then Ayyub alayhi salam responds and he says, "Ama astahi an atlub min Allahi raf'a bala'i wa ma qadaytu fihi muddat rakha'i?" That I enjoyed prosperity for 80 years and Allah has only tested me for 7 years. I feel shy. I feel embarrassed to ask Allah to substitute this difficulty by prosperity when I enjoyed the divine privileges of my Lord for 80 years and my Allah has only tested me for 7 years. I am not going to ask Him to cure me. Patiently I will bear. The time He divinely decides my cure, well and good. So she understands the level of sabr and she continues supporting her husband. With reference to Musnad Ahmad in Kitab al-Zuhd, there is a riwayat that one day the devil came to Sayyid, to Rahmat, that was the wife of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, in a disguised form. And she came and she said, you know what? I can have your husband cured. Now when a person is desperate for cure, he would stretch his hands and he would travel, you know, across the globe. Whoever can offer me cure for my beloved, I am ready. I am prepared just not to treat your husband, but to cure your husband. And only one thing I need from you is that after I have treated him and I have cured him, you must praise me and you must tell me that I really appreciate the fact you have cured my husband. The wife of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, her desperation knew no bounds. Perhaps because of that, she could not fathom the implications of the statement. And she said, well, if I'm quite happy with that, I will speak to my husband and you can come and treat him. So she happily comes to her husband and she tells her husband that, you know what, I met with a doctor and he's prepared to treat you and he only wants one thing, that I must acknowledge him in the end. In the end, I must acknowledge him and I must say, I must praise him and I must say that you have cured my husband. Ayyub alayhi salam got up. A Nabi is conscious of Allah in the midst of prosperity and in the heart of sickness also. There is no moment in the life, you know, when a person comes into a state of ecstasy and joy, he forgets where he is. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, at that critical moment, when the throne of Bilqis was brought before him, the first statement, what authority Allah gave him, that the entire throne of the woman was brought before him, and thousands stand before him, and everything is laden before him. Even at that moment he said, هَذَا مِن فَضْلِ رَبِّي. This is the sheer mercy of my Allah. Ayyub alayhi salam, in the midst of his sickness, he was moved out of society. He lost everything. He was desperate for cure. He got up and he said, oh my wife, do you know that statement is shirk? How can you attribute the quality of cure to any creation? That is the feature of Allah. I am sick. Why is it making you? Why is it taking a toll on you? I am ready to bear the sickness. Why are you getting so excited? I will stay in the sickness as long as my Allah has decided. But if Allah cures me, I'm going to give you 100 lashes. I'm going to lash you 100 times because of what you've said. The riwayat continues, Allahu Akbar, look at my time. The riwayat continues, sometime later two people who were from the friends of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, one of them made a remark and they said, you know what, I think Ayyub has really done something wrong in his life. That is why Allah is punishing him. Now this is very important. We become very judgmental. You see, Allah is showing him. He doesn't want to listen. I hope he opens his eyes. My brother, don't talk of anybody else's son. You have sons, I have sons. Don't look at any else. Allah be my witness. Whenever I see any young boy walking anywhere, coming from a good home, with an earring on his ear, with tattoos, walking with a strange woman, I come home, I read two rakat, and I cry to Allah. This is not the time to sit and point fingers at anybody else. Brothers, Allah can disgrace you sitting in your own home. Don't ever become judgmental on the tragedies of any person. It is not for me to decide, it's not for you to decide. Cry to Allah. Every youngster is an ummati, every youngster is a brother. Every girl walking is a sister to me. In the spirit of the unity of the ummah, what should we do when we find them in that situation? So they made this comment. When Ayyub alayhi salam heard this, he got very hurt. And he really felt. He said, Ya Allah, I have been so patient, but this is the comments people are making. Now I turn to you, Rabbi, Masani al-Dhurru, Anta Arhamur Rahimeen. Allah, I'm asking you now, I have been struck with pain. And this accusations of people decide my cure, O Allah. Immediately Allah responds, Inna wajadnahu sabira. We confirm your patience. Urkud birijrik. O Ayyub, stand up. Strike your heel on the ground. Hada mughtasalun baridun wa sharab. Gushes out the water. May ghusl in this water. Drink this water. He takes ghusl. Allah restores his youth to him. He drinks the water. Allah cures the internal sicknesses. Ibn Abbas says in the riwayat of Ibn Habban, Wa albasahu Allahu hullatan min al-jannah. Allah sends a garment of Jannah. A young, handsome, attractive man, adorned with the garment of Jannah, sits there. His wife returns with the food. She searches for her husband. Where is my husband? She comes to this man. Ayn al-mubtala alladhi kana hahuna. You know, there was a sick man here. Do you know who he is? Where he's gone? So he answers. He says, I am your husband. And this is how Allah has cured me. Now, as soon as Allah cures him, he recalls that now he needs to lash his wife. But at the same time, he doesn't forget the loyalty of his wife. Allah makes divine intervention and concession in this matter because she was a pillar of support to her husband. Allah says, وَخُذْ بِيَدِكَ ذِغْثًا فَضْرِبْ بِهِ وَلَا تَحْنَثْ إِنَّا وَجَدْنَاهُ صَابِرًا. Oh Ayyub, you're not going to lash her 100 lashes. She's been very faithful to you. At the same time, you're not going to break your qasam. I am going to now make divine concession and intervention. You go and look for a bundle of thin grass. I'm quoting the words of the Quran, ذِغْثًا. You look for a bundle of grass which has 100, you know, strikes or 100, you know, grass in it, and 100 blades of grass. You take that bundle of thin grass and you touch her once, and that is lashing 100 times. وَلَا تَحْنَثْ. You don't break your qasam. Ibn Kathir says, وَهَذَا مِنَ الْمَرَجْ وَهَذَا مِنَ الْفَرَجْ وَالْمَخْرَجْ لِمَنِ اتَّقَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَلَا سِيَّمَا فِي إِمْرَأَتِهِ الصَّابِرَةِ الْبَارَّةِ الرَّاشِدَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا وَلِهَذَا عَقَّبَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِقَوْلِهِ. That this intervention Allah made because of the pillar of support that she was for her husband. Brothers, I can explore. Look at my time. Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam, his brothers plot his assassination. They drop him in the well. They think that's the end of it. Allah reversed the situation. One is you and I. Allah has given us so much wealth that we are busy deciding the new car I'm going to buy. On the other hand, my own blood sister doesn't have enough money to go for her farz hajj. And I'm debating and arguing, is this loyalty? Have I discharged the wealth that Allah has given me? My brothers, my nephews don't even have enough money for education. And I'm busy arguing in which hotel I will stay in the United States. What form of loyalty is this here? Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam, Allah reversed the situation. He sits on the throne of Egypt. And his brothers walk in there. And these were the very brothers who plotted his assassination. But what is the teachings of a Nabi? And how broad is the bosom of a Nabi? وَجَاءَ إِخْوَةُ يُوسُفْ. And enters the brothers of Yusuf. فَدَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَعَرَفَهُمْ. He looks at them and he says, oh, these are my brothers. But they thought the chapter was over. And Allah brought him on the throne. This was the ideal time to seize the opportunity to now abuse them and understand there's famine and there's drought, they are desperate. But that's not the teachings of a Nabi. He speaks to them. He doesn't divulge his secret. He arranges for the corn and the grain. He says, load their camels. And then he calls the servants. وَقَالَ لِفِتِيَانِهِ جَعْلُوا بِضَاعَتَهُمْ فِي رِحَالِهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَعْرِفُونَهَا إِذَنْ قَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. As the people are coming in, because there is famine, he says, you take so much money and you give so much corn. But there are these 10 boys here, don't speak to them. Whatever money you collect from them, you put the money back inside. How can I milk my brothers in their desperation? How can I milk my brothers, those that plotted his assassination? But that's the loyalty of Islam. And these are the teachings of Islam. I embrace my brothers. When my brother is in the gutter, look at the atrocities they carried out against him. And look at the akhlaq of a Nabi. This relation continues few times. And then the brothers come on the third instance. And they don't know this is their brother sitting on the throne. And they say, وَجِئِنَا بِبِضَاعَةٍ مُزْدَاتٍ. O king, we have come to you with meager provisions. وَتَصَدَّقْ عَلَيْنَا. And really, my ourselves and our father, we're suffering greatly. We ask you, please be charitable to us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَجْزِي الْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ. Scholars write, وَهُنَاكَ حَاجَ الْحُزْنُ فِي يُوسُفَ وَلَمْ يَمْلِكْ نَفْسَهُ. That inner sentiments came to a boiling point in Yusuf. And he said, how long will I see the desperation of my own brothers because of my wife? How many people aren't they that will not give their brothers because of the demands of their wife? My wife says, I can't give, but you're not depriving your wife. This is not a time to consult with your wife. If you know your brother or your sister or your relative or a friend that has supported you, it's not a matter to consult with your wife. You're not depriving of her, taking her money and giving it to your brother. This is the loyalty that is upon you as a Muslim. It's not a matter to consult with your wife in this. He could not contain himself. And he asks, he divulges the secret. And then he says, هَلْ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا فَعَلْتُمْ. Oh my brothers, do you know what you did with Yusuf? He opens up and he discusses. And then they look at him and they recall the vision he's seen. إِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ يُوسُفْ. Are you not Yusuf himself? Is this not our brother with whom we were communicating? He comes forward, he embraces them. He says, now take the shirt, put it on my father, Allah will restore his sight. وَأَتُونِي بِأَهْلِكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. And now you can't live as poor people in Canaan. Come here, I will give you a royal position and you will be part of the royal family. Go, my brothers, I have forgiven you, and bring my father, and every one of you will now join me here. So brothers, this is the teachings of Nabi alayhi salam. As I mentioned, to console a man in difficulty, with regards to when a person passes away, what are the adab? What are the etiquettes of consoling? Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam, Anas radiallahu anhu says, there was one man that used to come in the gathering of Nabi alayhi salam. Then Nabi alayhi salam seen that he is no more coming. So Nabi alayhi salam asked, Anas, Aina hadha rajul alladhi kana yaji? Where is this man? So Anas radiallahu anhu said, O Nabi of Allah, he lost his son. Nabi alayhi salam said, Halla adhantumuni qumu ila akhina nu'azzihi. You people didn't tell me the man's son passed away. At least we could console him. Let's go immediately. They stand up and they come to the house. Nabi alayhi salam finds the man sitting there and he's sad and he's depressed. Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam encourages him. He says, Ya Rasulallah, kuntu arjuhu likibri sinni wa da'fi. I was old in an age and I lost my son at a very critical moment. I'm really hurt and I'm lost. Nabi alayhi salam morally supports him. What is the way you morally support? Unfortunately, there are a lot of bidats in our society. When Jafar ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu passed away, Nabi alayhi salam came to his house. Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam then ordered the sahaba, that look here, there is a janazah in this house, I want all of you to cook and bring food. Not for the family of the janazah to feed, but the others to feed that family. This is mustahab and this is the teachings of Nabi alayhi salam. How do you console the family when Nabi alayhi salam's grandchild was passing away, the son of Zainab radiallahu anha. She sent for Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi alayhi salam then came and then he read the following dua and he consoled her in the following way. Unfortunately, we congregate at the house of janazah and we talk of politics. Nabi alayhi salam said, "Udhkuru mahasina mautakum." Sit and talk about the good of this man that passed away. One brother in America left me with such a good advice. He said, "Maulana, I don't know why people take flowers to a dead man's grave. You must take flowers when the man is living. Speak good of the man that is living." My ustad always used to say, "Unfortunately, we have become a nation that worship the deceased." I asked him, "What do you mean by this?" He says, "It takes the death of a person for us to acknowledge he was a good man. That he's alive, we can't say it. It needs him to die." Let me then leave you with the letter of condolence. The letter of condolence that the Nabi of Allah wrote to Mu'adh ibn Jabal. We spoke last week when Nabi alayhi salam separated from Mu'adh and Nabi alayhi salam dispatched him. Nabi alayhi salam is in Medina Munawwara. Mu'adh is in Yemen. And in Yemen, his son passes away. There are so many things on Nabi alayhi salam, but he does not forget consoling his sahabi. He writes a letter which has been recorded in all the books of hadith. Min Muhammad Rasulullah. Listen to the letter of condolence of Nabi alayhi salam. I can explore this for another hour, brothers. I don't have time. Min Muhammad Rasulullah ila Mu'adh ibn Jabal. From Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Salamun alaykum. I greet you with the salams of Allah. فَإِنِّي أَحْمَدُ اللَّهَ الْمَلِكَ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. I praise Allah who is the supreme being. أما بعد, furthermore, فَعَظَّمَ اللَّهُ لَكَ الْأَجْرَ وَأَلْهَمَكَ الصَّبْرَ وَرَزَقَنَا وَإِيَّاكَ الشُّكْرَ. May Allah grant you great reward. May Allah inspire you with the desired amount of patience. And may Allah favor you and me and all of us with gratitude. Listen, O Mu'adh. ثم اعلم ان انفسنا واموالنا واهلنا واولادنا من مواهب الله الهنيه وعواريه المستودعه. Our health, our wealth, our belongings, this is the gift of Allah Ta'ala. يُمَتِّعُنَا بِهَا إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مَعْدُودٍ وَيَقْبِضُهَا لِوَقْتٍ مَعْلُومٍ. Allah allows us to benefit from this for a period of time. And Allah takes it on the appointed time. ثُمَّ فَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا الشُّكْرَ إِذَا أَعْطَىٰ وَالصَّبْرَ إِذَا ابْتَلَىٰ. Then Allah has ordained gratitude upon us when He favors us. And He has ordained patience upon us when He tests us. وَكَانَ ابْنُكَ مِن مَوَاهِبِ اللَّهِ الْهَنِيَّةِ. And O Mu'az, let me tell you, your son was from that gift of Allah. مَتَّعَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ فِي غِبْتَةٍ وَسُرُورٍ. Allah allowed you to benefit from your son, to sit with him, to comfort your heart, to comfort your eye. وَقَبَضَهُ بِأَجْرٍ كَبِيرٍ. And on his appointed time, Allah has separated your son from you. In صَبَرْتَ وَاحْتَسَبْتَ. And for you is great reward if you persevere and you hope for great reward from Allah. وَعْلَمْ. And then let me conclude my letter to you, O Mu'adh. أَنَّ الْجَزْعَ لَا يَرُدُّ مَيِّتًا وَلَا يَطْرُدُ حُزْنًا. Moaning and groaning will not revive the deceased, nor will it put an end to depression. From Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Nabi of Allah. This was the letter of condolence that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam wrote to Mu'adh. What did Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam then console his daughter with? And these are the words with which we should console. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا أَخَذْ. Let me leave you with this. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا أَخَذْ. To Allah belongs what He took. وَلَهُ مَا أَعْطَى. And Allah, and to Allah equally belongs what He gave you. To Allah belongs what He took, and to Allah equally belongs what He gave you. وَكُلٌّ عِنْدَهُ بِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. And everything has a stipulated time. فَلْتَصْبِرْ وَلْتَحْتَسِبْ. Have patience and hope for reward. إِنِّي مُعَزِّيكَ. Oh my brother, I am consoling you. لَا أَنِّي عَلَىٰ ثِقَةٍ مِّنَ الْخُلُودِ وَلَكِنْ سُنَّةُ الدِّينِ. I'm not consoling you because I won't die, but because it is the teachings of Nabi alayhi salam. فَمَا الْمُعَزَّى بِبَاقٍ بَعْدَ مَيِّتِهِ وَلَا الْمُعَزِّي وَلَوْ عَاشَىٰ إِلَىٰ حِينِ. Neither the man consoling nor the person consoled will see eternity. وَمَا الدَّهْرُ إِلَّا هَكَذَا. But what can I tell you other than what Imam Shafi said? Nay, this is the reality of life. رَزِيَّةُ مَالٍ أَوْ فِرَاقُ حَبِيبِ. The loss of wealth or the separation of beloved. May Allah Ta'ala inspire us with the reality of what was said. وَآخِرُ الدَّعْوَانَ عَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
For all your CD needs, contact Simtek Islamic CDs. We have a wide range of CD-ROM and audio CDs to choose from. Try our Quranic CDs or choose from our vast range of English lectures. We even have selected Urdu lectures. And for your computer, we have screensavers, Islamic programs, and much more. So call us on 082-500-9111. Simtek Islamic CDs. manufacturers and distributors of Islamic audio and media CDs.